Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Hey, Preds fans, don't forget, second annual Preds Fest right here where we are. We're at Pete and Terry's Tavern, but, of course, attached to Bridgestone Arena, and that's where the second annual Preds Fest will be held. That'll be from 2 until 6 p.m. There's going to be Predators player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and, of course, a whole lot of fun for the whole family. Plus, ESPN The Game, Nashville, will have a tent there with awesome prizes and game gear. So don't forget, second annual Preds Fest. It is free and a chance for you to go have a lot of fun. Great crowd last year. Going to be a bigger and better crowd this year. Bridgestone Arena this Sunday, September 29th, from 2 until 6 p.m.
A lot of cool stuff going on with the Preds, and I know you guys heard the announcement this morning. Smashville Live returns, but it's not going to just be every couple of weeks and be just a player show. We're doing it every week, every Wednesday, that allows when the Preds aren't playing. So it's going to be pretty cool that we have expanded our coverage for Smashville Live this year, and it all kicks off with the Poils. David and Brian will be the first edition of Smashville Live, so that'll be cool.
Very nice. Very nice. In fact, I was looking for some of the places. Let's see. You're right. Let's see, the first one will be October 2nd, so that'll be the day before opening night. So that Wednesday at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. The following week, also Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House, and over in East Nashville in Willie's Neck of the Woods. Drake's in Cool Springs. Yeah, they're going to move it all over the place. Puckett's, Boathouse in Franklin. Really cool.
A lot of cool spots.
Yep. So we will obviously keep you posted. There's a brew house in Bellevue. So we will keep you posted on all the locations and dates. But remember that first one, October 2nd, the night before they kick off their season against the Minnesota Wild. We are awaiting word from Tim Hasselbeck to bring him up. I was watching. Hey, we got the TVs on here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Doug Marone trying to dance around the questions of where the heck is Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, he didn't know there was an injury or something. Or
it's that thing is a
now
mess.
He's hurt. I don't know if you saw this, Willie. He had the flu. Now he's hurt. Now he's back.
He's still got some problems. Yeah,
his back hurts.
And, yeah,
just trade him.
The dog ate my homework is coming up here soon.
That'll be next. Listen, the dog tore up the iPad with the playbook on it.
Can't make it in. If I have a car trouble, I'm stranded.
Honestly, if I'm Doug Marone, I'd just be flat out honest and be like, look, guys, you know the deal. He's not here. I mean, we're just as frustrated as everybody. We want him here, but he's not here. We know everybody knows what he's doing. Just come out and say it.
Right.
Rather than him having to dance around and try to pretend like, you know, he's sick or he's got a back injury that's flared up. Just say it like, hey, you know, we all know what's going on here. We're trying to figure out how this is going to play out. We wish he was here. We need him. But I guess for now, he's not available.
I almost feel bad for Doug Marone. Just this mess that he essentially inherited. I mean, obviously you want to be the head coach.
You guys are the ones saying that the Titans should trade a couple first-round picks.
I didn't say a couple first-round picks. Yeah, I didn't say that. I said a first-round pick.
So you traded a first-round pick.
Yep.
For that guy.
Yeah.
Just you think it's going to change when he gets to his new place?
Yes. Everybody's happy in Nashville. Everybody loves Nashville. Okay, There's no problems in Nashville.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Traffic.
Like our guest, Tim Hasselbeck. Once he moved to Nashville, he was happy.
Became very happy.
He was sad living up in the Northeast, but now he's a happy guy. Tim, what's up?
So, a couple of things. One, that is true. Okay, much happier living in Nashville. There's no question about it. People are generally, I think, happier here than elsewhere, especially if you're elsewhere was Jacksonville. but I would just say that, I'm with Willie on this one. Last week felt like all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, how come you don't want him here? How come you don't want him here? I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. So Some guys, those problems aren't going away. And, oh, by the way, you want to give them a new deal. And I don't know if there's many things that are worse than, you know, let's be honest, I don't think any of us think he's really sick. And
it was raining last Thursday. It rained. Yeah.
I think it's got to be a level of trust. I just know that there were some rumors going around last week. So this past weekend, that he was going to call in with, you know, tight hamstrings and tight back. Like that was prior to him saying, "Oh yeah, I'm sick." And now, in addition, that's what you get. And I guess one of the worst things you can do is fake an injury, man, or fake being out and not be there for your team. Because, oh, by the way, Jacksonville's still paying him for this week. So, yep. You know, 102.5 the game, you know, if Chase calls in sick, they're not going to still pay him. You know, and I just think that there does have a little bit of accountability for that. And I would not feel great about giving up a first rounder, paying a guy, and then, you know, kind of like I said last week, you've already invested a bunch at the position.
What's his level of headache, in your opinion? I mean, where is he? Antonio Brown? Is he T.O.? Is he Chad Ochocinco? It's an unfair question, I get it, but just throw a dart and tell us, like, where is he in the landscape of headaches?
Yeah, well, I would say this. I think that we generally, and I guess by we, saying, like, you know, people in the media, I think we generally do a bad job of kind of addressing, you know, when somebody has quote unquote off the field issues, right? So, like, because that can run the gamut. Like, it could be, you know, a guy got into a fight in the locker room, or the guy had, you know, a DUI, or the guy had a domestic issue, or the guy, you know, had an addiction problem, or, you know what I mean? Like, it just, there's so many different things. So I think, in fairness to Jalen, like, I don't think it's fair to say, hey, you know, he's like in the Antonio Brown world.
Okay, I shouldn't, because you're right. The word, I guess I was thinking more at the time. You're right. That's not Facebook Live and, you know, sitting out the final game of the year. He just quit on Pittsburgh. So you're right. I shouldn't throw him in. I guess T.O. was a headache, but it wasn't like he was in trouble. He was just a headache. And Chad Ochocinco wasn't in trouble. He was just a headache. So I guess I'm comparing him to those guys.
Yeah, and so what I would say is, let me just first say, you're not wrong, because, like, you know, Antonio Brown had both of those things, you know what I mean, like, in terms of off-the-field stuff. So, I understand why you're saying it. And I, like everyone else, has kind of, you know, done a similar thing. What level of headache? I think there's probably, like, a T.O. aspect to it. I mean, if you think about, you know, I mean, T.O. and the infamous, you know, kind of sit-ups in the driveway situation, or, you know, like...
Well, there's, Tim, there was the Bears player that forgot to check when he Instagrammed in the locker room when they won the game. There was a teammate changing clothes behind him. That's a little bit of a headache, but it's on a scale.
I think that's a headache, but I also think that, and I don't know, Tariq Cohen, but I'm thinking it wasn't totally intentional. You know, Chris Cooley had done something like that before, you know, with the Redskins. So I think it's a headache. Guys that are good players, you know, are allowed to be more of a headache than guys that aren't. And he's definitely a really good player, so somebody's going to think he's worth the headache. But he's a big headache, and I just know that, like, if it were me, I would not. If it were me and I were Mike Vrabel, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want the headache.
Okay. So you don't think he's worth it. But you're right. Somebody will. So how's this going to play out? I mean, they're going to be forced here very soon to trade him, right? I mean, he is forcing the issue.
So I had this conversation on NFL Live yesterday, and part of what you have to you think about is, like, you got to figure out, like, what – like what the right things too. Like, you know, Jalen's basically, you know, kind of decided what he thinks is right for him. But it's got to be right for the team as well. And the team is going to need the proper compensation. Plus, like, they're angry about it now. So, you know, they're going to want, you know, first rounder plus, which means you're going to have to. So I can't imagine that Jalen's going to take a deal that doesn't make him the highest paid corner in the NFL. Would we agree on that?
Yeah. Yep, we can agree on that.
So not only do you have to find a trade partner that will make him the highest paid corner, you have to find a trade partner that has the capital and the picks to give up what, you know, the Jags are going to think, you know, they should get in return. So I was asked, like, do I think it happens? And I don't think it does. And I think because he's gone about this the wrong way, I believe that it's hurt his value. Now, I could be wrong, but like if I were to, I will guarantee you that there are some general managers that have been turned off by this whole "I'm sick" situation. That's kind of a big no-no. Like if it were me, I probably would have been like, all right, if he's going to continue to play really hard while this is going on, I would have been, I'd maybe be more apt to trust him. But now that he's, that I think he's lying, now I don't trust him, and now I don't want him.
You usually do these call-ins from the country club at the, either the tennis courts or the pool or something. So you're used to hobnobbing around filthy, filthy rich people. So you understand that world. Isn't it amazing, Tim, how you can be successful and rich in business, but it seems like whenever you own a sports franchise, you become not smart? I mean, I look at the Redskins organization and Daniel Snyder. It's just been nothing but just a big heap of trash since he's been the owner. And I look at the Jags. That dude's got billions upon billions, and obviously he's been successful a lot of things, but the Jags don't look like a well-oiled machine. I mean, for goodness sake, the Redskins put up London Fletcher, and they honored him Monday night, and they didn't even spell his name right on the Jumbotron. I mean, how do you miss – it's just one thing after another. How does that happen? How is it that people get all this money because they've made good decisions, and then they own a sports team, and they just become dumb?
Yeah, I would just say I think part of it is that, you know, owning a sports team like this is obviously a really big undertaking. There's a lot of parts you can't, you know, you can't oversee it all yourself. And so you need to be able to hire good people, qualified people to, you know, to do certain things. Like I just, you know, spell one Fletcher's name right. But also, you know, you got to hire a general manager that picks the right players, and you've got to hire a marketing department that, you know, that do the right thing. I think there's a lot that goes into that, and I think if you get some of those decisions wrong, then it can make you look really bad. And, you know, it's interesting. I was out at the Kansas City Chiefs training camp this past year, and I think that's an organization that, like, they've got it together. You know, they do a pretty good job. And what I realized there is that there basically is, like, no stone unturned. You know, like, it just, I mean, everything. Like, you know, I get out to practice and, you know, I immediately have somebody come up to me and said, hey, you know, Andy knows that you're at practice today. He wants to say hi to you. I'm like, what? How does Andy Reid know that I'm at practice today? You know, like, how does he, like,
because you were wearing your jersey, maybe?
What? No, I'm just saying, like,
you weren't wearing your jersey?
I was not, but I literally was in training camp with him twice, you know, on his team twice. And, you know, I was on his team, you know, one year when Don McNabb got hurt. But it's not like, you know, it's not like, I mean, I don't know when the last time I saw him, you know? But he somehow is aware that I'm there and also made a point to have somebody say, hey, before you leave, he wants to talk to you. I'm like, that's crazy to me that we're in the middle of training camp with everything that's going on, that he knows that down to that detail.
Well, you're a TV star. I mean, come on.
Well, no. I mean, in all seriousness, like the fact that somebody is saying, like, hey, these are the people that are at practice today. I mean, and he's aware. And then he says, okay, you go over and tell him. Like, of all the things they have going on, like, that happened. So I think there's some stuff that, like some teams, like, just have done a good job of hiring people, and there isn't anything that goes unnoticed. And that's obviously not the case with, you know, the Redskins for sure.
Did you guys notice that he did not dispute anything I said about his call wins, where he's doing it from? There was no dispute on any of that.
Side.
Yeah, no. Pool side, tennis courts.
By the way, Richard, you said it. Like, I was a little bit late today to the call for a couple reasons. The main reason was my call sheet for the NC State Florida State game that I'm calling this weekend. Like, it wasn't printed properly, so I was waiting longer than I wanted to have it printed. So I got it. But literally, as you were saying that, I was driving right past the country club. I was looking around, like, where did I FaceTime? I don't know what happened.
How does he know my location?
All right. More with Tim Hasselbeck from the country club. On the other side, Darren, Donnie, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Darren
Hasselbeck. Darren, Donnie, and Chase continues from Pete and Terry's Tavern. On the SoBro side, Bridgestone Arena, Predators in action tonight. Their final preseason home game as they take on Carolina. Darren will start the coverage at 6 o'clock pregame. 7 o'clock for the face-off with Pete Weber and Hal Gill.
Did you see the tweet this morning from the Hurricanes locker room?
The new guy?
Yeah.
The new guy? The name, the label over his stall just says new guy.
Yeah, I guess they hadn't had time to put the whole name together. Tim, did it ever happen to you? Get to the new team, get to your locker, and it doesn't have your name in there? It just says new guy?
I never had new guy, but I did have this situation where I went to the Redskins, okay, and they give me number 8, and I play a game, you know, 9 days later, and I go to put my game jersey on, and I literally cannot get it on while I have, like, my flak jacket, like the rip pads on that quarterbacks wear. So I have to take my rip pads off of my shoulder pads and just go into the game without them. And I'm like, man, why is my jersey so tight? And so what I found out was the kid they had in training camp that wore number 8 was a kid, his last name was Banks. He played at Iowa, and he was a little dude, played quarterback. And so they had just taken his jersey, taken a name off of it, and put mine on in the back of his head. So I'm like, I can't even breathe with this thing. I can't even wear the right equipment. But I'm like, what am I going to say? I mean, I just got there. I've been there a week. So,
Oh, boy. Yeah. I think I'd just rather have new guy in my
right. Just give me gear that fits. You can wear whatever you want.
Change the number if you need to. I got to get the jersey on. So one guy who hasn't been there, Tim, in Melvin Gordon, we've discussed his situation, but your colleague Adam Schefter saying that he's maybe reconsidering. I read a whole article about his theory as to why it might be worth it to him. He'll make more money and not risk getting hurt. I guess he's reconsidering here?
Yeah, I mean, not knowing the total specifics on it, but I think what happens is that if he lets us go too far, then he doesn't get the credited season, and, you know, he doesn't have this. It's just a further path to free agency for him. And, you know, we've talked, you know, a bunch of times as we've seen this with running backs about their value, and, you know, after 5 years, you know, if they're a first round draft pick in terms of their rookie contract plus the fifth year option, like, they're just kind of running out of life. You know, the shelf life for that running back, you know, is different for other positions. So, you know, I know Le'Veon Bell's gone on record as saying, like, he's glad he did what he did last year. He doesn't have regrets and anything like that. But he cost himself a ton of money. And I think for Melvin Gordon, when you just look at the way the Chargers team has played without him, the fact that they have had good production out of their running backs, and, you know, he's gone a month now basically without getting paid, I can see him really reconsidering this, because I don't think it makes much business sense at all.
We were looking at a lot of the grades for the offensive line for the Titans. There are some that, in certain metrics, and ESPN was one that actually had a stat that the pass protection win rate was better than it appeared. There's others that kind of match up with the eye test, that they have not protected the quarterback very well. But what we were getting into, and you can answer it way better than we can, is how do you try to evaluate how often the protection may not be great, but there was opportunities for the quarterback to get rid of the ball or slide up in the pocket, those kind of things. Because that's what everybody's discussing now is, yes, the line has to get better, but what can the quarterback do better to help a shaky line?
Yeah, well, the quarterback can do a lot. It's why, if you go back and look at Peyton Manning's career, you know, why he, you know, was never, you know, the most sacked guy, is because he would do a lot that would, you know, maybe somebody else would have taken a sack. So playing on time, for sure, you know, is a big aspect of that. And one of the ways you can play on time is, you know, gathering information pre-snap. You've got a good idea with where you're going to go with football. And so, you know, the best examples I could give you from, like, how do you decipher that? How do you figure out is, you know, when you watch stuff, you say, okay, did the quarterback even have a chance? And so what I mean by that is, like, if you watch Daniel Jones this last weekend against the Tampa Bay Bucks, there were a few times, especially early in the game, where you look at it and you go, you know what? He didn't have a chance. It didn't matter who they were playing at quarterback. They could have been playing, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, like whoever. They could be playing whoever at quarterback. And there was just no shot because, you know, Red Ellison, the tight end, just gets thrown right back into the lap of the quarterback as he hits the top of his drop. Then there were other times where you look at it and you go, wow, that easily could have been a sack, but because he threw the ball so early and played with such good anticipation, he fixed it. You know, the amazing play that Patrick Mahomes makes this past weekend on the touchdown pass to DeMarcus Robinson, where he's going to the corner and he makes, you know, a one-handed catch. You know, the Ravens bring a blitz off of the slot, and it's not blocked. But Mahomes gives a little bit of ground and then throws that ball so early that he's not sacked, not because the offensive line did anything special, but because the quarterback played special. So, you know, I think that, you know, you can see that stuff. That stuff shows up. And, you know, sometimes you look at it and you go, hey, look, but the quarterback just didn't, he didn't play, you know, with as much anticipation, and he took a sack. Now, would it have been a great play? Sure. But do we see other guys making those plays? Yeah, we do.
So that being said, with what you've watched with Mariota, does he grade out fairly low average to below average in that area?
So I would say this for him. He's had moments where you go, you know what? Other guys don't make that play. And you know, probably none stick out to me more than, you know, I guess that would have been that run. It was against Kansas City in the playoffs, you know, where he kind of throws the guy off of him. You know what I mean? Like, where you go, you know what, that's a sack for most teams. You know, that's just an amazing physical play. But I would say that those are fewer and further between than the plays where you're like, man, like, seemed like we were just holding it a little too long, and now we have a negative play, and now we're off schedule. So, yeah, I think that, you know, if you were just going to do a by comparison chart, you know, with other quarterbacks where you say, okay, well, he was the number two overall pick. He's, you know, he's expected to be the face of the franchise. Does he do it the way Breeze does it? No. Does he do it the way Russell Wilson does it? No. I think you can all go all the way down to Matthew Stafford. Does he do it the way Matthew Stafford does it? And, you know, the answer a lot of times is no. I mean, he doesn't. So, you know, I think that's kind of where you find your answer and you figure out, okay, well, how does he fit? Where does he stack up with the rest of these guys?
You've got a matchup of 2-1-2 teams on Sunday, and the winner is going to feel okay about themselves, particularly the Titans. You know, they play without Lawan. Three of the first four have been on the road. But you've got Atlanta that's got to, you know, they've got to be thinking pretty desperately here, too. They've got to win. How do you assess Atlanta's roster right now? As they, you know, they're still 2 years removed from almost winning the whole Super Bowl. They've regressed a little bit. Still has some scary players, but what do you think of them?
Yeah, I think the Keanu Neal injury that we saw last week towards Achilles is bad for them. You know, they were really beat up through the middle of that defense a year ago, and I think it was one of the reasons that they struggled. You know, I believe I've talked to you guys before about Deion Jones, their middle linebacker. I mean, he truly is a special player. I think they're a good team. They're dangerous because they are, you know, there were elements, and you saw some of it the last couple of weeks, of them kind of getting back to running the football better with Freeman, you know, healthy again. Their receivers are excellent. Obviously, you know, Julio still can kind of take over and dominate a game. Matt Ryan was outstanding last week, I thought. And I think defensively, they have a lot of team speed, and they're really – they're talented in some spots. And I think because of, you know, the injury bug that hit them last year and some guys still coming off of injury, I think if they can stay healthy and not kind of get into that mess again, like has kind of already happened with, you know, the safety Neal, I think they're a good team. And I think they're a team with, you know, even with the Saints, you know, winning a tough game without Drew Brees last week. And I think that they're a team that's good enough to contend for that NFC South. I mean, I think they can be that good. So, you know, their record is impressive. It probably feels like a must-win game for them. And so I think it's probably a dangerous time, you know, for the Titans to get them.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So continuing on that front, your assessment of Matt Ryan right now for the Falcons. I mean, his numbers, you know, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions through 3 games this season. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I think he's had a couple of bad interceptions. You know, the interception thing, you know, for him, I think he's always kind of had a somewhat unhealthy respect for the football. You know, I go back to when he was in college. You know, part of the reason where people were kind of scared about drafting him, you know, so high is he threw 19 interceptions, you know, his last year at BC. And, you know, I think a few years ago, you know, I was fairly critical of him because, you know, I would hear him talk after games about, you know, hey, we need to protect the ball better. You know, he would say things like that. And, you know, and sometimes I'd be like, dude, wait a minute. Like, no. You need to protect it better. Like, you're the one that threw it, you know, when you were backed up. You threw it right to, you know, DeQuell Jackson or whoever you threw it to, you know. So, like, I've kind of always felt like he, you know, he would take some chances with the ball. I feel like it's always been somewhat part of his game. And I think in, you know, some ways he gets away with it, especially with, you know, the really talented guys that he's played with throughout his career that do a good job of catching the football when they're covered. If you think about, you know, whether it was back when it was Tony Gonzalez, and certainly it's been the case with Julio, and I think you even see it show itself with guys like Mohamed Sanu. And so, you know, I think it's always been part of his game. And so, you know, I think there'll be years for him where he throws over 30 touchdowns and the interceptions are down around 12, and then I think there'll just be other years where they're much closer to 18 than 12. And I think it's just a product of how he plays.
So looking ahead, the Titans obviously have the Falcons this weekend, but then their next opponent will be the Bills. The Bills start the season 3-0. They have New England coming up this Sunday. Are you a believer in them right now, or do you still need to see them match up against better opponents than they've had so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think New England's going to beat them. And so, yeah, I mean, had they played, you know, they play tougher competition, sure. You know, maybe we'd look at it differently. But when I do watch them, I feel like what I see, even going back to a year ago when it was like, well, I don't know how talented they were. I think Sean McDermott's a really good football coach. And I think that he's got a pretty good assessment of his team. And so, you know, you go back a year ago, they would run the ball well, they would play good defense, and they would at least be competitive and in a bunch of games. And I think what's happened now is that now that they, you know, maybe have kind of developed a roster that they're a little bit more comfortable with, and guys are buying in, and a quarterback that I think is just really hard to defend because, you know, he's a better runner than was probably advertised when he came into the league. In fact, he's an outstanding runner. And he makes some throws sometimes where you're like, wow. I mean, very few guys around the league can make some of the throws, especially outside of the pocket, that Josh Allen's able to make. And so now I think you go good defense, improving quarterback, and a willingness to try to run the football. Yeah, you're going to be a tough out for anybody. And so, look, am I a believer in them, Chase? Look, do I think they're going to the playoffs? You know, I probably don't, even with their
schedule
start.
Helps them, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I could be wrong about it, but I probably don't believe in them as a playoff team. But I think that in December, they're going to be playing meaningful games and they'll have a shot for it, because I think every week is going to be a hard out for whoever they face.
Now, I think another team that you could almost fit into the category of, all right, they haven't played anyone yet, let's see how they match up against better opponents, would be the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have more weapons than the Bills do. I think they've looked pretty good through three games, but what about you?
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. It's a little bit like the Bears, right? Everyone was saying, like, Mitchell Trubisky stinks, the Bears aren't any good. And then you go, okay, well, what's our sample size? You know, our sample size going into Monday night was they had played the Packers and they had played the Broncos. Well, I think we're starting to realize that the Packers have a very good defense and the Broncos are good on that side of the ball too. And then all of a sudden you get to face the Redskins and Mitchell Trubisky, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, now this makes sense. Like, now this offense and Matt Nagy, you know, he's a wizard and, yeah, this is great. You know, like, do I think the Cowboys will come down, you know, back down to earth a little bit, especially offensively? Yeah, probably so. I mean, I think Dak, a couple of weeks ago, he was like 26 for 30, and I think he had a drop, and then another ball that Randall Cobb probably should have caught that ended up being intercepted. I mean, is he that efficient and that good? Probably not. But I also think that there's an element of, there's an efficiency to their offense because of how they're designed. They are still good up front with that offensive line. They are better with Witten there because he is a very good blocker, and he has been. And I think that Kellen Moore is a legitimately good play caller. So they have balance. They've got a good play caller. They've got a quarterback that makes good decisions. And I think they've got very good athletes on defense. So, yeah, I think they'll come down to earth, but I do think that's a good team.
Last thing quickly, 30 seconds or less. In your opinion today, who is the best team in the league? Who is the worst team in the league?
Best team in the league is the Patriots. They got an awesome defense. Worst team in the league is the Dolphins.
Is it one of the worst we've seen in a long, long time?
Probably so. I feel bad with, you know, college buddies and teammates with Brian Flores. But I think that's why he got a five-year deal when most coaches get four-year deals. I think everyone knew what a disaster it was going to be there. So, like, I think everyone knew, and it's kind of been as bad as advertised.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the call, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Cool. See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN's NFL analyst/expert. The same for us. Wednesdays at noon. We always enjoy our conversation with him. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to start our weekly chats with Chris Mason. That's coming up at 1 o'clock here on the program. Taking in a little lunch here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. I got to be honest, guys.
Yeah, might I say that the Beef on Weck, which was a Pete Weber Buffalo Ties special,
yeah,
the request, is a big thumbs up.
Yeah. That's what
it is, a big
Pete and
up.
Buffalo, huh?
Well, and don't mistake the buffalo sauce. It's not one of those, but it's just there's a place up in
Mine
Buffalo
is.
That's famous for the beef on Weck.
Okay,
so it's kind of been brought down here. It is strong.
Well, I got the buffalo chicken dip, and it is fantastic.
Willie and I got the same thing. We did the beef on wick.
We got we're going for the beef on wick.
I know. Isn't that good?
That is cute.
Isn't that nice? And look, if you come down here and you're looking for lunch, $12.50 gets you a burger and a beer all day long.
I think people should sign up for that.
I think if you're downtown, just get the vibe. Come on down. Take advantage of this. You can listen to the show a little bit, and then if you're coming back to the game later, you're set.
Willie will sign autographs.
We're going to get into some hardcore hockey stuff with Chris Mason at 1 o'clock, and we'll talk a little bit about, as they try to trim this roster down, what to expect tonight, and get into a lot of that with C. Mason in the 1 o'clock hour, and just talk a little bit more hockey. In fact, we could touch on this now, since you're about to leave and go to the beach, jerk. Yeah.
Sorry.
That there was a...
I'll miss you guys.
Craig Custance on The Athletic. Was it Craig Custance?
Yep.
Ranking all goaltenders in the league.
Yep. So he basically... We've talked about the quarterback tiers on the show that Mike Sando did for The Athletic. It's basically the same concept that he's talked to executives and coaches in the league and come up with this tier system for goalies. So, you know, the tier one's obviously the top of the top, and then you go on down. So take a guess of where he has Pekka. We'll start with that. Where would you put Pekka in the
tier? Is this the tiers? This is like the quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's basically the same concept.
Right. In other words, he asked his panel to – give a ranking, one, seven, two, three,
how many are in the top tier?
And then you do an average.
Seven NHL general managers, four NHL head coaches, three assistant GMs, and three goalie coaches. That made the panel.
Okay, okay, how many are in the top tier?
I just pulled up the article. I have only seen the top tier, and so let me throw. But so Darren, you can have an educated guess. There are only three goalies that have been given top tier status, which surprises me a little bit.
I would prefer that you not read the article and look at it so we could have a little fun. I would say Vasilevsky has got to be a top tier, top three quarter.
Yeah, he's number one.
He's number one.
Okay. Which is interesting because they got beat in the first round. You know, so is it, but he's awesome. He's absolutely a fantastic goalie.
Who would you have number two?
We've seen his team in preseason, didn't see him. Newly acquired Big Bob, Sergei Bobrovsky.
He is number three.
Okay.
You're missing one. You're missing number two, I should say, of the tier ones.
I'm going to go, oh boy, there's some obvious ones, but
it's obvious.
It's an obvious one.
It's obvious?
Yes.
Okay, Ben Bishop.
No.
Okay. Carey Price?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, see, that's... But he hasn't been. Is it obvious still today? That's who I was going to say.
I would still say that's obvious.
But it's obvious, but I don't view him
the last two seasons as obvious.
I think it shows you the subjectivity of the people that you ask. It's a harder thing to gauge. I think tier one for goalies, I would say, than quarterbacks. I think you'd have more of a wide range of this, so I'm just only looking at those are the three guys. Certainly would say Bobrovsky and Vasilevsky would be in tier one. I would say Carey Price is in tier one.
He was fifth place last year, so he was.
Yeah, he had gone down. He had some injury issues, but he's played really well.
Last year he had a .918 save percentage. Okay,
one
35, 24 and 6. 2.49 goals against.
Yeah. One executive said he's just so blank and good. He's technically good. He's mentally good. That's a tough place. All the blank they have to go through. He stays healthy. He's pretty darn good for me.
Okay.
All right. Okay. If Pekka is not still in tier one, then he's got to be at the top of tier two, in my opinion.
Okay, so how many are in tier two?
Tier two has... a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ben Bishop's in tier two.
You are
I already
correct.
Said that.
There are, okay, when you look at Pekka In tier two, there are one, two.
Is Pekka in tier
two? Yeah, he's got to be in tier
two. There are three. Sure. There are three goaltenders ahead of Pekka.
In tier two.
In tier two.
Okay, Marc-Andre Fleury.
No.
Wow.
Not Ben in Bishop tier two? Ben Bishop is one.
Okay.
Ben Bishop is ahead of
Fleury. Is in tier two, but he's just not ahead of Pekka.
He is just below Pekka.
Okay. John Gibson is the guy that is an interesting one because his team was so poor in front of him, but he shined. I would think John Gibson gets a lot of
You
marks.
Would be correct. He is the top of tier two.
Top of tier
he
two.
He's the fourth-ranked goaltender overall.
Tuukka Rask.
Tuukka Rask would be correct, and then you said Bishop. So it's Gibson, Rask, Bishop, Pekka, Fleury.
And then my guess would be Holtby after that?
Yes, spot on. The 10th-ranked goalie, so this we're still in tier two, 10th overall.
You know what's interesting is Tuukka Rask last year for a good portion of the season was losing starts to their backup, Anton Khudobin.
Yeah.
And so it's just these guys, even the best, do run hot and cold, right? Because Rask, by the time the season ended, was fine, and he was the guy they were riding all the way almost to the cup. He played great. But there is a little fluctuation.
Okay, here's a guy I want to know where he is on this list. Because it's a small sampling, and it's very good of a small sampling. So where's Bennington?
I knew. Aha. I knew you were going to go there. He is 13th, so he's tier two.
So he is tier two.
He is the last of tier two.
Okay,
so he is
we're missing,
at the very end of tier
so
two.
So there are three tier twos that we have not named?
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
One of them you know well. I'll put it that way. We know them.
Hellebuck.
Yes.
Connor Hellebuck is in tier two.
Yes.
See, that's
you seem
to
surprised
me,
by that.
Well, he dropped off last year.
Well, he did.
He's only had one tier one kind of season, so it would not have surprised me if he was on the top edge of tier three.
So that leaves us how many more tier two?
You're missing two.
Two.
10th
well,
and
they've
11th.
Been bad.
Freddie Anderson's got to be
okay,
tier
there
two.
You go. There's one.
Okay. So I don't know where to go. There's one guy who's been really good, but this team has been really bad. There's another guy that hasn't been anything, and then last year was huge. So which one should I go with?
Is Devin
I don't know if you're going to get either.
Devin
I don't know if you're going to get
two.
Oh, that's not who I was thinking of.
Consistent wins.
Is not.
Wow.
Tier two. He is
okay,
tier
so
three.
Do you know who I'm talking about on goalie? He's been really good.
Jonathan Quick,
but have been on a bad team. Right. Robin Lehner, a guy hasn't been, and then last year
right.
emerges
uh-huh.
as
two very good names.
I'm going to go with Quick.
You would be wrong. He is
so
tier
it is,
three.
It is Lehner?
No.
Wow.
Quick's numbers really did drop off
yeah,
last
you're,
year.
Well, the team stinks.
But, and he's had injury issues.
Lundqvist?
That's another
He is the top
one.
Of tier three. Matt Murray.
That was my guess, Chase.
Matt Murray, okay. Legit tier two, no question.
Okay.
Only so if you shoot blocker side, but.
So the top of tier three would be King Lundqvist, an average tier of 2.68. So he's just at the top of tier three. You mentioned Devin Dubnyk. He's the 15th.
I'm a little surprised. Devin Dubnyk's tier two.
His average,
right?
Well, his. So
to
they
me,
give
he
you a,
is the quintessential tier two, but not.
But at
tier
the
one.
Back end,
he's
of tier
dropping
two.
Off.
He's in tier two.
Now the naysayers on him say that the system that they play has made his numbers look better.
He has been really good,
but he's steady.
He's been consistent for a good while now.
Yeah.
One panelist said, "I would suggest he's dropped a little, but I think he can get it back. It's been a mess there." His average tier is 2.68. Last year, his average was 2.25, so he was a tier two.
You did not mention Corey Crawford.
I didn't.
Tier three?
Too many stretches of not being available. I would say if he were available yes. every night, then I think he's still in that tier two for sure.
He is tier three.
Huh.
Do they have backups in there? Is Juuse Saros on the
no,
list?
No, this is just 31.
Okay.
31 goalies.
Where does Carter Hart
I was going to say. He's got to be tier three.
He is tier three. He is the 19th ranked goaltender.
Right, give us the how many tiers are there? Four?
Yes.
Who's last?
The very last goaltender. Any guesses?
Is Cam Talbot still a starter?
Yeah, I think I just saw his name.
He's not going to be last, though.
Some of these names in Tier 4 are Wolf.
But every team
or actually,
has
wait, there are.
Does every team have one representative on here, or are there some teams that have more than one?
Well, if it's 31, it would have to be every team.
It's got to be one.
I think
on
there
every
are
team.
Only three tiers. But there was a fourth tier.
So there's only three tiers. So, see, this is an intriguing one for me, is where does Martin Jones fall on the spectrum? Because the Sharks, we know, can score. Right?
He's but 20, he was 23rd.
He was an issue last year.
23rd.
Yeah.
23rd. And then you have some teams that are just train wrecks overall, and that's going to make it hard for any goalie.
Right, they have like 25 starts, 28 starts, 32 starts.
Corey Schneider would be an interesting one to look at.
He's on this list. Let me just give you some names from Jonathan Quick, which was the 16th overall goaltender. After him was Semyon Varlamov. Antti Raanta, 17th. 19th, Carter Hart. That you asked about.
Okay.
Now you get into...
Raanta had good numbers last year.
Grubauer was 20th, then Corey Crawford. You mentioned Martin Jones. He was 23rd. So there's one in between Crawford and Martin Jones.
Well, I think we've heard enough of the list. To me, what would be interesting is this is... They pulled GMs and coaches, right? Anonymous GMs
and goalie
coaches.
And
goalie
assistant,
coaches.
Assistant GMs as well.
I think if you did an analytical profile, the order might be quite different, I would say, because there's all these expected goals against, you know, saves above average, you know, all of these things that they've come up with now. It does change it based on that versus the eye test, or, you know, some of these guys might be going by analytics.
I kept scrolling past the top of Tier 4, so there
is a
Tier 4.
Do we agree that Pekka is...
Tier 2?
Is Tier 2, or do we think he's Tier 1?
I think Tier 2. That's fair. You asked who was last on the list. So, there was a Tier 4. I was scrolling past where it said Tier 4 in big, bold letters, so that's on me. Mikko Koskinen. Koskinen is the last.
For the Oilers, yeah.
Just above him, because there are two that are tied for 30th, just above him, Carter Hutton.
Well, here I think people would be interested in hearing this as we segue into Mace. Here is the anonymous quote, which I always find interesting, right? Somebody is not being named, so they're going to give you an unfiltered take. So here's what they said about Pekka. He's been so good for so long that he's been picked a little apart because of his playoff issues. But no matter what, Nashville is cruising into the playoffs every year. If you're cruising into the playoffs year after year after year, your starting goalie has to be really strong. And then here is an anonymous head coach. He hasn't won a cup, obviously, but they've been right around there, which may sway people's opinion. It's a difference when he's in the net and he's not. But I think also what's happened over the last couple of years is the emergence of Saros, I think, especially in a lot of analysts who break down the stats, they don't really drop off very much with Saros in there. Saros maybe has had more... knack for maybe having a rough month somewhere in there, which is what he's probably going to have to iron out over time. But so to me, when you read these things, what keeps Pekka out of the top tier? It's interesting. He's number 7 on there. But 7's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you're still top 10. So I thought it was interesting. I saw that.
Oh, it's good. I love stuff like that. So that's on The Athletic if people want to read the whole deal.
We'll ask Mace about it.
Mace is, by the way, tier 1.
He is tier 1, for sure. We will come back, and we will kick off the fourth and final hour with Chris Mason next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.